to deal, and that is Acts 27. I brought slides, though I normally don't preach with slides. It slows me down. But for the subject today, I thought we need to have some slides. And I've got only four things to tell you. Just four things. And if you get the four things, you're safe. And I think we'll finish at 10:30. Let me get... All right, the first thing is this. If you're taking down notes, fit into God's mission. Are you writing it down? The second thing is this. Handle risks for the sake of God's mission. I have a professor who said, whenever you teach, have a cup of coffee. And before you make a point, pause and take a sip. You'll sound very profound. So the third point is trust God to guide, to direct, and protect. And the fourth point is recognize the opportunities that abound as you pursue God's mission. Well, you got 4 points. You're quite safe. The title I somewhat changed a bit. Said, trust God in God's mission. Now, I want to read just portions of scripture so that we can anchor our thoughts. And I'm going to use Paul as a figure to navigate through this entire passage. In fact, if you look at this passage in Acts 27, it is perhaps the longest one, not just by chapter, but by the time he reaches Rome, it is perhaps the longest one, very close to Acts 7, Stephen's sermon. It is perhaps the longest one that is in the book of Acts. And so I'm just going to use Paul. Paul, while they were traveling, the journey was getting difficult. And at one point, Paul warned them in verse 10. He says, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives. And then in verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. But then emerged Paul, the man of hope, and he stood up and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. The Malaysian way of saying is, I told you so. You know, in counseling they say, never use that word. Huh? And parents, I give you a tip, never use that word to your children. And he said, then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you, and I want to use the word courage. As I was preparing, the word courage kept coming to me. And I want to say, for the church to step one step further into mission, you need C-O-U-R-A-G-E. You have all the knowledge, you have all the information, you have all the strategy, but what you need is that courage. And here twice he says, keep up your courage. If there is a word that is coming to the church this morning, if Dora had come and said something, what is it? He said, courage. But I thought it was trust. And he says, I urge you to keep up your courage. Some translation says, take heart, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I stood beside me and said, do not, whom I served stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that will happen just as he told me. And then when the sailors tried to escape or on a lifeboat, Paul said to the centurion in verse 31, he said, unless this man stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Again, Paul coming in and directing the entire crew. And then 14 days, they have been without food. And so he got up again and said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. And this is in verse 33 onwards. You haven't eaten anything. And today you won't eat anything after the service. Okay. Now I urge you to take some food when you get home. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. There were 276 of them. And I just want to say those, read those portions of scripture to anchor us. I've entitled the message, Trust God in God's Mission. And one of the things we need to see here, while Acts 27 speaks of the journey to Rome, speaks of that voyage to Rome, that is a narrower theme of what Luke is trying to say. But there is a larger theme, and the larger theme is the mission of God. The larger theme is Paul moving to Rome to testify of Jesus Christ. In Acts 23, verse 11, it says that the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage," the word again, "as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify in Rome." In Acts 19, in verse 21, earlier on, Paul says, "I must also go to Rome." Rome was at his heart. And Jesus himself said, "You must testify in Rome." Jerusalem was the center for the Jews, but Rome was the center for the Gentiles. In Paul's mind, the apostle called to the Gentiles, he felt that going to the center of the Gentile world, Rome in that day, would be strategic. And therefore, going there would be a time to testify. And as if in Acts 28, Luke stops writing. Because that objective of proclaiming Jesus Christ so that nations might believe and obey him, that is the mission of God. So while there is this narrower theme of the journey to Rome from Caesarea, there is the larger theme of pursuing God's mission. And it is in that context you need to see this passage. Otherwise, you will see a Hollywood movie called The Perfect Storm. Yeah. This is, when I read Acts 27 over and over again, all I see is storm. Storm and storm and storm. And so, but if you see a larger picture, that gives you, in fact, the mission of God is the compass that navigates us or helps us to navigate our lives. And Paul had that. And so with that, Paul sails to Rome in Acts 20. I won't read all the scriptures here and there. I might read for time. And so Paul sails to Rome. You read that from verse 1 to 6. And one of the things I want you to note, that that's the reason why I use the PowerPoint this time, because you do not know where we are going. And so at least you have a picture. You know, They began to travel along the coast, along the ports of the coast. And then they faced a storm right up there in the middle. And then they were cast ashore on the island of Malta. And from then on, 3 months later, they moved on to Rome. So it's a journey, long journey that they had taken. All right, so you have a picture here. In fact, when I looked at this Acts 27, I thought I could have 4 Sundays to do this. Really, if you want to get into it, there are 4 Sundays. And I could probably have 1 month to speak on missions, just out of this Acts 27. There's so much things inside there. Paul fitted into the mission of God. Now, Paul wanted to go to Rome. But in all his journeys, his first missionary journey, the second missionary journey, and the third missionary journey were all very intentional. Very, very intentional. But in this case, when Paul, yes, he said, "I must go to Rome also." But little did he ever think that he would go as a prisoner. Yeah? There was a girl called Linda. Linda, when she was young, wanted to become a missionary. She wanted to become a doctor. But in her teenage years, they found out that she had a very chronic situation that required hospitalization very frequently. And at at one point, she was there for 6 months. She was so used to the hospital that everybody knew her. But she was a believer. And anyone seeing her would see such such cheer on her face and such radiance. In fact, at one point, she was there over a period of 2 years, just in the hospital because of her condition. And yet, many were drawn to her. And so the person who is writing concerning her, her name is Julie Ackman, who wrote about Linda. And she said, "You know, Julie, I always wanted the hospital to be my mission field, but I didn't know I will be a patient to do that." Yeah, when we say we want to be the hospitable to the mission, I mean, to ministers to the sick, we thought we would be a nurse or a doctor, but God has other ways. And so while we say embrace God's mission, embrace the mission of God, one of the things we need to do is to fit into the mission of God. We have to fit into the mission of God. Now, very often, we tend to ask this question. And the question is this: how does God fit into my life? Or to be put more dramatically, how does God fit into the story of my life? But the question we should ask is, how do we fit into the story of God's mission? Will you write that down? The question that we should ask is, how should we fit, meaning how should my life fit into the story of God's mission? And so we fit into the mission of God. Paul fitted into the missions of God. There are four mechanisms in missions. Four mechanisms by which we could engage. We can go voluntarily. This is Matthew 28. Verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore." This is going voluntarily. And those of you who went to Sabah, to Ranau, and then to that interior, you went voluntarily. You were not kidnapped there. I went voluntarily to Thailand, and then I was kidnapped into Burma. I remember years ago, you know, I started ministry by being a spare tire. People who were supposed to go couldn't go, they'll call me. And that's how my mission trip started. Really, it's an amazing thing. So anyway, let me come back to this because of time. Is that I was supposed to go to Thailand, and they told me this place, and a place called Tita, and at that time I was still in the university, and I had a master student. I was overseeing his work. And then since he came from Thailand, I took out the map and I said, "Where is this place, Tita?" And he looked around, he said, "No such place. The closest place we ever had was Kanchanaburi." Kanchanaburi, yes, but not Tita. But he said, "I do not know this place." So I thought maybe a very interior place, rural place. So I went on that trip with two ladies. They were supposed to teach children ministry, and I was supposed to teach the younger ones and then the adults. And so we went. So from Kanchanaburi, then I learned, I said, "Where is this place, Tita?" The person who was taking in, he said, "This is not in Thailand." The whole church was praying for Thailand, by the way. I said, "Where is it?" "This is in Burma." "Burma?" And then he said, "If I tell you Burma, you won't go." And I realized why. Because then we have to go through the checkpoint, very weird way of going into the into Burma. And that was Karen State at that time. Now Karen State is no more. That was Karen State, and they were fighting for autonomy. We went into Karen State. Tita is in Karen State, and it is a war zone. Everyone is carrying guns. Everyone. Children, everyone is carrying guns. If they had told me, I wouldn't have gone. You know, and so, and I was a young father. My daughter was just barely a year old. By the way, my three daughters brought themselves to church. Can you please all stand? My three daughters, could you please stand? I've talked about them, and there they are. Okay. Yeah. They've come to see whether I've talked about them or not. I've already talked about them, so that's okay. Now, so until Kanchanaburi, I went voluntarily. Do you follow that? But I went into war zone, into Karen State, involuntarily. Here was Paul, who was doing the first three missionary journeys voluntarily. But never did he think that he would go as a prisoner involuntarily, even though he had that desire. Daniel was taken into Babylon. Exile. He went involuntarily. Joseph went into sold as a slave into Egypt. He went involuntarily. He You see that? So there are four mechanisms. Then the come mechanism, people who come to the place of blessing voluntarily. They flock to the United States because of studies or whatever, or because of prosperity, or it's a free land. They went there. But some of them had to go because they were fleeing persecution elsewhere. When the Russians overran Hungary, many Hungarians ran into Canada and into the U.S. And one of them was a Hungarian professor who from Canada, then later when I came to teach us here, and he taught me forest engineering, and that changed my course of my life. So that is going or coming involuntarily. Here people come, the Myanmar refugees running into Malaysia, they come involuntarily. I want to tell you this, if you don't go, God can send you involuntarily. Choose you this day, whether you want to go as a free person or a prisoner. The second thing is this, if you still don't go, they will come. All right. We deal with this in our missions classes anyway. But so here was Paul as a prisoner. He knows he's as a prisoner, but he fitted into God's mission. So fit into the mission of God. Then the journey becomes difficult and dangerous. I won't read everything. The journey becomes difficult and dangerous. In fact, the journey runs into a storm and results in a shipwreck. And Paul faced great risks, but the value of God's mission was greater. Now, if you say life is difficult, if I were to go around this room, every one of us have faced difficulties. Every one of us has faced storms. But one of the things in the kingdom of God is this, that, you know, the Bible talks about we are in Christ, especially in Ephesians, that we are in Christ. But there is another thing that we need to add on. Not only we are in Christ, we are in Christ's mission. And when you embrace the mission of God or the mission of Christ, then you process all the obstacles, all the hazards, all the trials that come in the light of the mission of God. If you look at just the trials alone by themselves, they could be daunting. It will strike fear into our hearts. But if you see those trials in the light of God's mission, you will be able to handle those hazards. God will help you through. And that's what you see in Paul's life. So I put 2A because there are sub-points. Handle risks for the sake of God's mission. One of the reasons why we don't step into God's mission is because it's too risky. And I want to tell you this. The largest unreached people group that starts, the majority people are here in this country and, of course, elsewhere. One of the reasons why they are like this today, it is because the missionaries of old never engage them because it's too risky. And today we pay the price. Today we pay the price. I like scientists and engineers because scientists, when they have a problem, they may fail it this time, but they say, we'll find a vaccine. We'll find a way. 10 years down the road, they find a way. Engineers doing the same thing. The core of engineers in the United States, their motto is, we'll try. It's not, cannot. And so, we will try. But somehow, in the church, we don't sing that song. It's too risky. But when you have the mission of God ahead of you, then you process the risks in the light of that mission. It is Ralph Winter, the late Ralph Winter, who was a missiologist. He said, risks are not to be evaluated by the probability of success, but in terms of the value of the goal. Now, this is nothing new. The parents really work very hard, and hard-earned money, they buy a beautiful home. And then one of their daughters say, I want to do medicine. What do? They sell their beautiful home. Why? The value of that goal is much greater than selling off the house. Do you follow that? But when you don't have that goal in sight and only look at sell this house, ayo. So the mission of God, very often we are discouraged by things because we don't see the mission of God. So risks will come, hazards will come, difficulties will come, but you need to see the mission of God in order to process this. Do not let obstacles cause you to stop or retreat from God's mission. You should be like, is it John MacArthur who said, I shall return. You know, I shall return in Japan. Remain connected with God in all circumstances. I just want to go back here. Do not let obstacles cause you to stop or retreat from God's mission. Very quickly, when I was missions director, I was just appointed as mission director in 1997. And we always have staff devotions. And during the staff devotion, we had a speaker come over. He took part in our devotion. I was the chair. I was chairing the devotion. And when his turn came to speak, he looked at me and he said, I've got an encouraging word for you. All eyes on me. And then he said, don't be discouraged. And then he went on to say, you will meet wall. You will meet a wall. You will hammer your head against the wall. I'm glad for that word, because I've faced many walls. Really. As a missions director, I faced many walls. And it came even a point where there were counsel given to me. Dorai, why don't you quit? Good counsel. But I saw the mission of God. I saw the mission of God. In the light of the mission of God, I said, I will scale the walls. Of course, in scaling the walls, some of my hair became gray. Some of them began to fall. But I want to tell you this. The time when we started, we had only about 5 missionaries. Today, we have 220 missionaries. In the light of, if it is not that mission of God, I can tell you, I would have resigned, quit just in the first 3 years in that post. So do not retreat, do not stop. Be connected to God. And this is the one. I remember somebody very close to me coming and said, Dorai, why didn't you just go to the elders, tell them, go. And I pondered over that. And I told myself, and I searched, I went to God and said, Lord, is this something that you are telling me that I need to move? You know, there is a way. If you don't want to move, God sets a fire. So I asked God, are you setting a fire so that I could go to Sarawak? But the Lord spoke through his word. He said, be faithful in the land. That was the word for me. I told my colleagues, I said, I remain. And so, remaining connected with God is very powerful. And I want to say here if you read Paul's, here he said, last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. That means the mission of God will still be there. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. What was Paul doing? Paul was praying. Praying for safety, not only for himself, not only for his fellow workers, Luke and Aristarchus, but also for the entire crew. And that is why he said, God has given you. God has given you because he had prayed. One of the things I found, one of the greatest key in missions is prayer. We would not have survived had we not prayed. Every Tuesday we pray, every Wednesday we have business meeting. Paul trusted in the sovereignty of God to see him through in God's mission. Now, God could have stopped the storm, right? God could have prevented the shipwreck. Now, remember, Jesus stilled the storm. And we could have even prayed like that. God, stop the storm, but the storm comes. That is the sovereign work of God. But what God does is, he gives us the resources, the sustenance, the power, and the courage to go through the storms. In fact, I want to say this. If you go through the scriptures, more often than not, it is not the troubles that he will stop. He will give us a way to go through the troubles to reach our goal. Very often. It is not setting away the troubles, but going through the troubles. Trust God to guide, lead, protect, and provide for you. And here we see in several places where he has given an encouraging word, and he said that we will not perish, but we will lose the ship, he said. And then another place, when the sailors were they were trying to escape, he told the centurion, if they leave the ship, they will not survive. And then when they were all down and out, in fact, it's very interesting how Luke had put it. He said, when all hope was gone, Paul rose up as a man of hope. So Paul trusted God to guide, direct, and protect. I want to just stop here for a while and say this. While we begin to pray, I was on a mission trip in Barrio, my wife's place. You know, I had asthma when I was 6 months old. And every year I would have about 3 attacks in a year. I grew up in a rubber estate. The only treatment they ever gave me was rub a lot of Vicks and leave me like that. Never had medication. So I grew up as an adult, just like that. Every time, just Vicks and then off. Never saw a doctor for asthma. Nebulizer. What new animal is that? You know, we don't know. I never heard of that. Ventolin, is it a new vegetable? I don't know, we never heard of that one. I remember when I was in Barrio, and Joanna, our eldest, was just 1 year plus, and I was the leader of the mission trip. Many of them were varsity students, but I was very sick. So sick, I could hardly walk. In fact, next morning, when we were to move from one village to another, I could hardly walk. I was carrying Joanna, and then I have to tell my wife, you have to carry her. I couldn't walk. So, but somehow I made that small trip, about 10-15 minutes, to our longhouse. And this other longhouse was 2 hours away of walking. And I told the team, I can't go. I can't. And the reason why I said it is because in the previous trip, I nearly died. Next time I'll come, I'll tell them another story, all right? I won't go into that one. And then the team, I said, you have to go. And I was staying at home. My wife was back with me. She didn't go because she had to look after me. It's about 2 o'clock, and I was very, very... I was talking to God and said, Lord, how come? The team is a very young team. I'm the leader, and I'm sick. I can't even go. He's just talking, and I just, you know... What was I doing? Washing dishes. But as I thought about it, the time was now 3 o'clock. In Barrio, it becomes dark. 4:30 becomes dark. So... about 3 o'clock, I suddenly felt strength coming from my leg, coming up all the way. And suddenly, I could breathe. I told my wife, let's go. I said, are you sure? I said, let's go. And I carried Joanna, put her on my chest, you know, with that strapper, that carrier. And people say, are you sure? Because the whole village knew I was sick. It's, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? My brother-in-law said, are you sure? Yeah. And I walked. I walked like Gandhi. You know, I walked like Gandhi. Really? I walked. And God in his mercy, halfway through, 2 motorbikes came. And we jumped on it, and then we went. And that day, that night, I took the meeting. Powerful move of the Spirit. Really powerful. At the end of the meeting, not only I prayed, the team said, we cannot do this. We do not know how to preach. Just now they said only Mark could preach. We do not know how to preach, how to teach. We do not know. They say we have only one thing to do. Cry out to God so that Dorai will get well. They were praying, they were crying. But what I'm saying is this, trust God, trust God. And the way to trust God is not just to say trust God, it is a life of prayer. A life of prayer during times of peace that will set you through during times of difficulty. I need to move on. You will experience God's presence. I experience God's presence. You will experience God's promise. Paul, the Lord spoke to Paul, you will stand before Caesar. And of course you get God's answer. They were all saved. And then, believe that God is with you in the journey. And God is with you in your troubles, in your difficulties. He is there. How to find out? Pray. How do you pray? When you pray, you will see the assurance of God, and He is with you. All right. Paul demonstrated an active faith. Now, an active faith is a faith that acts. on what we believe. Paul demonstrated a maturing faith. Paul is the one in Philippians, he said, I want to know Christ. That means there are vistas in Christ that we need to know. There are lengths and breadths and depths and heights in Christ that we need to know him, not just at this level. And so he was continually had his focus on knowing Christ and a serving faith. And one of the things about missionary service is you serve people. You don't say, I serve God, but don't serve people. You serve people. He served the crew. He served the people on board. And when he was cast ashore, he served them as well. All right, Paul rose to be a blessing to the entire ship, and which we already read. I won't go through that. Paul was an agent of hope, counsel, and encouragement. I'm going to leave the slides here so they can actually use it. Paul made God visible to the people on the island when they were cast ashore. And you remember the story of the viper on his hand and how that was, and miraculously he was not harmed. And then the chief of that place, he went and prayed for the father and then prayed for the sick and they all got healed. So Paul made God visible to the people on the island. So recognize the opportunities that abound in the mission of God. Recognize the opportunities that abound in the mission of God, which we just saw in the case of Paul. And Paul arrived at Rome. That was God's purpose. Paul arrived at home. No centurion could stop him. No storm could stop him. No shipwreck could stop him, because he was on a mission of God. And Paul preached the gospel in Rome. You read that in Acts 28, 30 and 31. And then in his prison, that's when he wrote his prison epistles from Rome. And so, the mission of God, proclamation of Jesus Christ, so that nations might believe and obey him. And let me just close with this illustration. Nothing could stop us in the mission of God. The church in 96, they sent me before I became missions director, they sent me over to U.S. Center in Pasadena in California to study for 1 month in missions. And I was all ready to go. I got my air ticket. I had $2,000 with me. And my friend of mine who was in California said, it's going to be sunny here. Go and get some sunglasses and things like that and slippers. He wanted Japanese slippers, so I went to get. And there was a supermarket along Old Klang Road, and I took my children, my wife, and we went up there. You know, in my bag, there was my passport, the $2,000, the ticket kept in my bag. And over it was this Japanese slipper, put it over there. And I left in the bag, left in the car. We were going up this escalator, and a voice spoke to me, go back to your car, somebody is in it. And I told myself, I didn't even tell my wife there is money in the bag. I didn't tell anyone. I said, this is just my imagination. Same the voice, go back to your car, there is somebody inside. I want to tell you this. The reason I'm saying is that God is not far away. God speaks to you. But you must be in the habit of hearing his voice. Not suddenly. We all want suddenly. No. It's only in the communion with God you will be able to hear that voice. So, but I said, no. We went shopping for 2 hours, buying everything, and then we came. And when I came into the car, everything was thrown on the seat. You know, the envelope. The two envelopes that I had, one was the ticket and the passport, another one, the $2,000, the envelope was thrown, and my organizer book was thrown. And I told the children, and I said, children, why do you play with my things? I told the children, very easy to blame, huh? Children are very easy. Two people you can always blame, the children and the women. Okay, because they're considered weak, you see. So we always blame them. So why did you play with this? Never thought about it. And then I found my sunglass missing. I saw all the coins taken away. And suddenly, it dawned upon me that it was broken in two. And then, what? Then I opened my envelope where the $2,000 was. It was there. And then I opened the other envelope. This was all on the seat. I opened where the passport and the ticket was. They were there. And I quickly put all in the back. And I said, let's drive. I think when I was driving, my hand was shaking. Not the tires were shaking. I was shaking. And when I reached Pasadena, and I was the only person who came the furthest or farthest for the cause. And they asked me to share something, and I shared that. You know what they said? God wanted you to come to Pasadena. I want to tell you, my friends, embrace the mission of God. And God gives you a plan and a strategy, and hold on to that. God will make sure you get to that destination and process all other trials and testing in the light of the mission of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I passed the time. 10 more minutes. 10 past time. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. We won't sing that song yet, because I think it's we want to pray. I have come to say to some people here, take courage. There are some people here, you need that word, take courage. But the courage is to come from God. And therefore, spend time communing with God. He'll give you the courage. The second thing I want to tell you is this. Embrace the mission of God. Embrace the mission of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you love us. And in loving us, you have also given us a cause. You have given us a mission. And we pray this church, every brother and every sister, will embrace your mission. And you will guide them through until it is accomplished in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.